Welcome back to Spencer on Sports here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. And we're pleased to be joined this afternoon by Christine Brennan, longtime journalist and author. She's got a brand new book out today. In fact, it's called On Her Game, Caitlin Clark and the Revolution in Women's Sports. You can find it wherever books are sold. In fact, Christine's going to be in the area with a really cool opportunity to not only hear her talk, but two special VIPs. We'll get you some more details on that. But it's an incredibly busy day for Christine, not only because of the book coming out, but she also got people like me calling her, asking her for time to be on shows all across the country to talk about the book and talk about Caitlin Clark. So we're happy to have Christine on the show for a little bit here today. Christine, happy book release day. How's it going?
Hey, Spencer, I'm doing great. This is just what you live for. You write a book, I really had to write it quickly. It's about 4 months, 5 months. A quick book is a year, so that'll tell everyone I really had to book on this book to get this thing done. 12, 14-hour writing days, and you live and think of the moment in July when it will be out and we'll be able to talk about it, and it is just exploding. I mean, thank you to everyone listening who's already bought it, for those who are going to buy it, for those who are going to buy more, for their kids and grandkids and the girls and boys that play sports. Obviously, it's a book for kids. It's an adult book, but I wrote it so that 12-year-old kids can enjoy it, moms and dads, grandparents. You know, this is an American story. This is an Iowa story. I devote several chapters to Iowa, what all of you know anyway, but obviously Title IX and Field of Dreams, If You Build It, She Will Come is a chapter title. My apologies, because I'm sure people there, they've heard that before. Just the magic of Caitlin Clark, all those great Iowa games, relive that in three or four chapters. And then moving on to the Olympic snub, the story I broke, just awful, looks worse every day. More details on the decision to not put her on the Olympic team, just absolutely the worst Olympic team decision I have ever seen in all my years covering the Olympics, which fortunately I'm so lucky, goes back to 1984 in LA, the worst ever. Just a terrible, terrible decision to snub Caitlin Clark. And then the fever season, of course, all of that. And much more, including the magic of the fans loving her and how she sees them when she drives by. Just what an amazing person she is and how lovely she is and kind and smart and funny. And just the perfect role model for the perfect time. And so, the nation is just gobbling it up. We're way, way high, number 31 as we speak on Amazon, which is extraordinary. All books on earth, and number 31 behind some kids' books and paperbacks, and then us. You know, it's just amazing. And then already a second printing, and it's been out for just a few hours. So it is wonderful, and I'm honored, and I'm just thrilled to be able to talk to you about it.
The standard question, Christine, I usually ask when I have authors on the show, what inspired you to write this book? And this isn't a fiction novel. This is a real-life thing. So what drew you to the Caitlin Clark story that made you want to put pen to paper or typing to computer to put this thing together?
I'll start with the opening of the book, the introduction, the first sentence I write. Like many of you, I was introduced to Caitlin Clark by a stunning three-point shot. And the one I'm referring to is that, as I'm sure many, many, many of your listeners will remember, I was watching on my iPad in my kitchen in Washington, D.C. I'm a Big Ten girl, though. I own our family home in the suburbs of Toledo. We had season tickets at Michigan games, and I went to Northwestern undergrad and master's. So Big Ten all the way. And I love watching women's basketball and was watching the Iowa-Indiana game, which, of course, Indiana was number two in the country. Iowa was right up there as well, and that's when Caitlin hits an incredible buzzer beater in the last second and a half, or she's sideways, her legs are askew, and she wins the game and runs off to the side of back of the court in the end zone area, and you just watch the replay, and you watch it again and again. What have I just seen? And I'm lucky. I've seen a lot in my career, and to watch that and see that, it was like, this is magical. This is something we have not seen, especially from a female athlete in a team sport. And I started to watch more closely and realized that she's a basketball player, yes, of course, but she's also an entertainer. Very much like Tiger Woods, where grandmothers would rearrange their Sunday afternoons of Masters Week to watch Tiger tee off for his final round and play his final round at the Masters. And people who didn't know the difference between birdies and bogeys would do that. Same here. Guys especially who might not have given women's sports the time of day 30 years ago. I know those guys. I was on radio talk shows where they'd laugh about women's basketball. And I'd defend it, and they would say, nasty things about the women's game or other female athletes. And those guys are now wearing 22 jerseys, right? And proudly wearing them not only to games, but also to the grocery store and to the gas station. It is an absolute sea change in America. Title IX, 53 years old, Caitlin Clark and her age group. I've got a niece right around her age. Those young women got Title IX on full blast. The confidence, the comfort level, the great coaching. Today's the greatest day in women's sports until tomorrow. All of that is embodied in this one person, many others too, but in this, you know, who's really not just a famous athlete in this country, one of the most famous, maybe the most famous athlete in this country. Caitlin Clark is one of the most famous people in this country. And thank you to Iowa. Thank you, Iowa, for sharing her with the rest of the country. Just remarkable how she's handled herself in all ways. And just a delight to report on, to ask her questions, to get her answers. Her quotes are throughout this book. She participated, even though it is an unauthorized autobiography, which makes it, or unauthorized biography, makes it sound, Spencer, like it's ominous. No, that's what you want. No holds barred. My journalism telling you this amazing story of this magical athlete who is such a great role model for boys and girls and such a wonderful representative of your terrific state.
Christine Brennan joining me here on 1600 ESPN. Her book, On Her Game, Caitlin Clark and the Revolution in Women's Sports, out today. A busy, busy time for Christine. We appreciate her giving us some time here on release day. You made the point, and my next question to you, Christine, was going to be just in general, what do you make of this phenomenon that is Caitlin Clark? And you brought it up, and I've been in sports radio. I've been in radio for a long time, but I've been in sports radio doing it here in Eastern Iowa for going on 4 years now. We talked about Caitlin Clark. We talked about women's basketball. Iowa women's basketball, but now it's just continued on, right? Going into the WNBA and her time in Indiana, now in year two. And not even that, we follow along with her former teammates at Iowa that are starting to make a name for themselves in the W and other players, whether it's Iowa State ties or whatever it might be. We're talking women's sports on sports talk radio, and that, you know, that's just one example of just how much she has changed the playing field, changed the game, really, for the national conversation about women's sports. That's huge, because like you said, there are guys out there that are making appointment viewing of watching Caitlin Clark. They're watching Caitlin Clark. They're watching the Fever. They're watching not only that, but then they're finding out about the other great players in the league and watching more WNBA games and watching women's sports. And it's really this huge moment, and Caitlin Clark is responsible for everything we've seen. What have you made of this kind of phenomenon or moment that we're in as part of the national conversation?
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, I never thought I would see this in my lifetime. The stat that I think so many people know, the 4 million more people watching, viewers watching the women's final, Caitlin in Iowa against South Carolina, then watch the men's final, the next night, the NCAA final in 2024. It's just unheard of. 4 million more watching the women than the men. You know, another incredible statistic I have in the book, Indiana Fever last year, with Caitlin's rookie season, Indiana Fever average home attendance was higher, better, than the average home attendance of 5 NBA teams. Think about that.
That's incredible.
It's extraordinary. I mean, it's just like, it sounds like it's wrong, right? You say it and it's like, oh, no, there's no way that's true. It's true. I quadruple checked that. I checked everything in the book. I'm an inveterate fact checker, and my goodness, I hope there's nothing. But I know Iowa folks will let me know if there's anything, but I feel pretty comfortable. I had lots of people's eyes on the book as well because it was so important to make sure everything was locked down, everything's right. Journalism, you can trust everything in there. No speculation. If I couldn't get it, you know, if I wasn't sure about it, if I couldn't get it nailed down as a story, as a source thing, it's not in the book. That is a fact. That's how I write my columns. That's how I worked at the Washington Post, at Miami Herald, USA Today, CNN, ABC. That's how I work. So you're getting that kind of a book. But I think that's it. And then just people standing in line for hours, you know, obviously Iowa folks, you know that. Everyone filled up Carver Hawkeye for her over and the team. Kate Martin, of course, the great Lisa Bluter, now Jan Jensen, also the great Jan Jensen. But these great teams for years because of 6-on-6 girl basketball, because of the tradition of supporting, you know, leaving the small towns, coming to Des Moines for all of those games, the state championship every year, even going back to the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s of last century. So that's it. But now you've got the University of Maryland with people in line in February in the cold for hours as if it's a Springsteen concert or a Taylor Swift concert. People waiting in line there and outside of, you know, Ohio State, Columbus, Ohio, and my alma mater, Northwestern, people lined up for hours to watch a woman play basketball. Again, we have never, ever seen this before, and I never thought I'd see it, and it's all because of Caitlin Clark. And when people, and I deal with this in the book, Kathy Engelbert, the commissioner, well, Caitlin and Angel. Angel Reese is a great player. She's a great rebounder. Caitlin Clark, her words in the book, she compliments her left and right. It's, you know, several times I deal with Caitlin and Angel, of course, in the book. The idea that Angel made Caitlin, well, she followed her around taunting her. And by the way, the you can't see me, Caitlin was doing it not to Haley Van Lith, but to her bench. So the whole premise behind Angel doing that was wrong. Okay, that's all in the book explained. But Angel's doing that at the end of the game. Well, the beginning of the game, you know, that hadn't happened yet, and yet people are tuned in at almost 10 million. And so I know people want to make it, oh, well, Angel created that. No, the game before, Caitlin was beating South Carolina in Iowa, where Caitlin was just was on fire, that game had higher ratings than the previous year's national title. So, and that was the final, you know, Final Four, the semifinal. So this notion that, like, Kathy Engelbert, the commissioner, is asked about Caitlin Clark, and then she has said on occasion, well, Caitlin and Angel. No. You were not asked about Angel. What, and Angel can't sell out, you know, her own arena in Wintrust, 11,000, you know, unless Caitlin's there. I think there were one or two others with other teams. But we saw it with the big move to the United Center when Caitlin Clark was injured, and the prices dropped from hundreds down to, what, $6, $7, $8, $9. Well, if it's Angel, then those prices wouldn't be dropping because that's her home city. And it's okay, because most people, you know, rebounding is great. I was a rebounder. I was under the basket. I'm all for it. But you've got the singular athlete bringing the ball up the court. All eyes are on Caitlin Clark, the playmaking guard, the point guard, shooting, everything, what could happen next, the passes, whatever she's going to do. As Curtis Strange, the great golfer, two-time U.S. Open champ, says in the book, it's a chapter title, you can't take your eyes off her. No disgrace for Angel. But Angel could not sell out the United Center. So it's Caitlin. It's not Caitlin Angel, it's Caitlin. And even Paige Beckers, as great as she is, and I'm not being negative about these players, I'm talking about facts. Funny thing about facts. Facts are facts. And I'm a journalist, and I have lots of thoughts. People know I fought for women's sports and to cover them and to give them their due for over 40 years. So this is not about denigrating any other women or elevating Caitlin Clark. This is about saying what is true and what is factual. And this book is filled, of course, with that, because it's all factual. But Paige Beckers, as I understand, I haven't looked at the stats recently, but the first few games, she could not sell out a 7,000-seat arena in Dallas. Nothing against Paige, but that's not the kind of numbers that Caitlin Clark has. So why some in the media seem to have trouble with this, I do not know. It's a shame, because we've got to trust the media to get the story right. And I point all that out in the book and more, and we'll continue to point it out on this book tour as well.
Last one before we get to the details of the event you have coming up next week. You talk a lot, and I don't want you to spoil the book for people who haven't read it yet, but you talk about how the WNBA was not ready for this moment, and they're still not ready for this moment. And it's perplexing to me, and I'm sure to you as well, Christine, that this is even possible, that they would not be ready for this moment, ready for the so-called golden goose, the thing that they've all been waiting for to bring their league to a new level of relevance and really insert themselves into the national conversation in sport. What's your reaction to that? How did you come across that? How is that even possible from what you've reported on in this book? And just what's one thing that you think the league can do to secure this moment, to capture this moment, and really take advantage of the eyeballs that Caitlin is bringing to the game?
Yeah, great question. The leaders need to lead. For example, when Marina Mabry is a freight train running into Caitlin Clark and the refs blow it, as they did with Kennedy Carter, too, and there's a whole chapter on her called Hip Check and that whole ugly scene and how Caitlin just Caitlin Clark was just terrific throughout and handled it beautifully, just a class act, and how lucky the WNBA was that she was that way, that she didn't lower the boom verbally on Kennedy Carter or anyone. I mean, just the class. I've got Kate Martin talking about that, how Caitlin will always take the high road. But, you know, you've got a league that should immediately, Marina Mabry, okay, she should have been kicked out of that game. Those refs can't handle that, or I don't know what. Get new refs, pay the refs more, figure that out now. You've got eyeballs as never before. This is the opportunity. You've got a few years. I mean, hopefully Caitlin Clark will be around for 15 years. I mean, you got plenty of time, but you don't want to miss this moment. And they're not, because everyone wants to watch Caitlin Clark no matter what happens. Although when she's out, more than half of the TV audience disappears, as we know. More than half. That's remarkable. I know it's easy to go, oh, yeah. No, no, no. Tiger Woods would maybe be a few percentage points. Michael Jordan, a few. More than half of the audience literally disappeared when Caitlin Clark disappeared. That is a huge problem for the WNBA if Caitlin Clark's not playing. So if you're the leader of the league, Kathy Engelbert, the next day you say, you know, the refs got that wrong. It's a flagrant. You should have been kicked out. But here's the deal, flagrant two, whatever. But here's the deal. I'm also suspending you now for two more games. Where's that leadership? Where is that leadership? I don't know. But you should say that for any player, right? It should be any player. It's not just Caitlin Clark. If anyone does that to any player, they should immediately be kicked out and then get an extra suspension. But Caitlin Clark is your economic rocket engine. The players might not like it, but their collective bargaining changes dramatically if Caitlin Clark is injured. And the owners now know that. They have that stat about more than half the audience disappearing, and they can use that against the players. So the conundrum, the players desperately need Caitlin Clark for these negotiations. So anyway, I would say lead and stop, you know, make sure, be honest, be truthful, and handle issues. Caitlin's tough and strong and can give it out. And also, if the players need to talk, Dr. Harry Edwards, Brian Escuri, the great Harry Edwards, the civil rights leader, I have their voices. But what should have happened last year should be happening this year. Seminars, meetings, not because the players are damsels in distress, but because this was so unique, a 74% black league and a white superstar. We understand in our polarized society that that is going to be something that could be difficult to handle. Understand it. Whatever side of that conversation you're on, we can understand that. Then have these seminars. Help the players, not again because they're needy, but because no league has ever had anything like this happen before.
Christine, before I let you go, I know you have this really cool event. You've teamed up with the folks at Sidekick Coffee and Books down in Iowa City. And it's actually growing so popular. It's about Caitlin Clark in Iowa City. So maybe we should have seen this coming. But the event with Jan Jensen and Lisa Bluter is moving to a new location, we understand. Some breaking news, I guess, here on the show. Yes. Tell us more about this event and what it's all about and what's going to be happening there next Wednesday.
Well, Sidekick Coffee and Books got in touch months ago with Scribner and wanted to have an event, and I give them so much credit. It was going to be at the University of Iowa Athletic Hall of Fame, and I think they it was sold out. I got a note today, and now I see it online on their Instagram, that they are moving to a bigger arena, a bigger venue. It is Carver Hawkeye Arena, the Feller Club in Carver Hawkeye. I'm sure many, many people listening know exactly where that is. They certainly know where Carver Hawkeye is. We will be there 7 p.m. Wednesday, July 16th. I think everyone's anticipating that will sell out. I'm thrilled and I'm honored. I can't tell you. I feel so, so fortunate. These two incredible leaders, Lisa Bluter, Jan Jensen, joining me. We will have a conversation. We'll tell Caitlin Clark stories. We'll sign books. I'm going to sign books, personalize every book. You can come and you can get other books for gifts, for the kid, the athlete in your life, the girl dad in your life. I'll be there all night signing as many books as possible. I'm going to guess we can get Lisa and Jan to maybe sign some books too. Certainly you can take pictures, everything. Should be a great event. So sign up today. If it's, again, just go to Sidekick Coffee and Books. You can find them easily online and then and sign up. And as I said, they're moving to a much bigger venue. I'm thrilled. I can't thank the people of Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, Eastern Iowa. I can't thank you enough for the support. I think you'll love the book. And again, Caitlin Clark magic jumps off those pages. Logo 3 Spencer jumps off those pages. It was just an honor for me to write this book about this incredible person and athlete at this time in our country.
Christine, congratulations on the success so far, and we'll hope to catch up with you down the road, okay?
Look forward to it, Spencer. Thanks so much for having me.